you can't get away from Jeannie without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's true. I mean, she just tells it. So, in fact, she's written her, what is it, the funeral or the, yes, tell people about Jesus. So, yes, we're talking about love this morning. And we lit the candle of love, God's love. And I titled it True Love. You know, a lot of times we get this muddied perspective of what love is. It's very unclear sometimes. And so hopefully we can kind of look at this morning a little bit better. Because God's love is true. It's true love. It's real love. Well, a Peanuts cartoon shows Lucy. She's standing with her arms folded and a stern expression on her face. And Charlie Brown pleads, "Lucy, you must be more loving. This world really needs love. You have to let yourself love to make this world a better place." Lucy angrily whirls around and knocks Charlie Brown to the ground. She screams at him, "Look, blockhead, the world I love, its people I can't stand." I'm sure we all feel that way from time to time. And some of us feel that way most of the time. Maybe you feel that way right now. Loving the world is generally, it isn't that difficult, but loving people around us can be a major challenge. But not God. It's easy for God to love us. He is the author of love, isn't He? I mean, He created it. He knows what true love looks like. Not slanted, not manipulated, not perverted, true love. Even when it seems that there's no more love in the world, we can know that God loves us. We can trust His love. God woos us. He wants to draw us to Him. Do you believe that? He wants to draw us to Him. He woos us. He chases us because He is in love with us. And so we look at Romans 5:8, and it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners. He melts away all the evil and the hurt and the pain. He loves us very deeply. For example, if you've seen some Christmas movies, Santa Claus 3, remember? Did anybody see that one? Did you see the Santa Claus 1? Santa Claus 3, they put in the guy, Jack Frost, you know, and he's cold and he's evil and he's mean and he's manipulative and he's got this cold heart. Well, of course, at the end, Lucy hugs Jack Frost and, of course, melts his heart, right? And that's what God does. He melts away our evil, our hard hearts, our coldness. And he gives us His love. Or in the all-famous movie, the Santa Claus is coming to town. Okay, so you remember that one. St. Nicholas runs into the evil wizard. And he's this grumpy old wizard that has never been shown true love, and so he gives him this gift, and it just changes. It transforms this old wizard into this new person that has a warm, loving, open heart. Or you think of the movie The Grinch that stole Christmas, right? He has stolen everything The little girl, Cindy Lou, who was no more than two, comes out and asks him why he was taking everything away. And he gives this whole spiel that he's just going to go fix it and get it all ready for Christmas and then bring it back. Well, that's not what he intended, right? He was taking it for himself. And yet, Christmas morning comes and they come out and there's nothing there. And they all gather around and they sing. This is the little town of Whoville. And they gather around, they sing, and they rejoice because it's Christmas. Not anything to do with gifts or what they had, but they just celebrate it. And so he's up on the mountain, right? And he hears this singing and he realizes what he has done. And it just melts his heart. It actually makes his small little heart into this big heart. And so God does that to us. He softens our heart. He shows us his love, like it says in Romans 5:8. There was also a cartoon that depicted a sour, disgruntled, elderly gentleman standing in rumpled pajamas and a robe at his apartment door. He had just secured the door for the night with four locks, two deadbolts, and a chain latch. Later, he noticed a small white envelope stuck beneath the door. On the envelope was a large sticker in the shape of a heart. It was a Valentine. Love had found its way into that disgruntled man's apartment and into his heart. No matter how disgruntled or hard or cold one's heart might be, God's love can penetrate through it. And so only love can change a person's heart. The Russian author, I'm going to say his name wrong because it's Russian, Dostoevsky, in his book, The Brothers Karamazov, tells the story of a hardened cynic, Ivan, and his resistance to the love of God. On one occasion, his brother Alyosha, a man of deep faith, was confounded by his brother's resistance, leans over and kisses Ivan. This simple act of love burned into Ivan's heart. It melted away the cold resistance. And maybe you have a friend who has resisted God's love. Maybe you have resisted God's love. When tragedies happen, many people question God's love. And it's the same today as it has been for many years. People have asked the question, why does God let things happen? And they challenge God's love. It's understandable. It's understandably so that we ask that question. I was reading a blog this week, and there was a guy on there that was ranting and raving about this Connecticut thing, this tragedy. And this is him being blatantly honest. And I took out some of his language because it wasn't very clean, but I want you to get the gist of what he was saying. He said, please, what is Jesus telling all those little kids right now? Hey, little kids, it was all part of my plan to sit by and watch a madman slaughter you like you were a bunch of wild animals, all because it was part of my plan. Geez, thanks, Jesus, you are such a great guy. Those wonderful little children are no longer with us or their families because Jesus sat by and did nothing while this man murdered them. They were shot and probably suffered a painful, slow death, all because Jesus has a plan for them. Now their families and the rest of this country will have to mourn their deaths because Jesus was too much of a wimp to step up and go and to do anything to stop this man. If Jesus and God know everything, they didn't see this coming and stop this man before he caused so much pain and destruction to others. How can Jesus and God justify letting a bunch of little kids get slaughtered like pigs while they bled out into their kindergarten class? Please answer me. Well, John Piper wrote a blog, and this was this guy's response to that blog. And John Piper, he starts off with using the verse from Hebrews. And Hebrews 4:15 says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize, but one who is in every respect has been tested as we are." And John Piper goes on to say that mass murder is why Jesus came into the world the way he did. What kind of Savior do we need when our hearts are shredded by brutal loss? We need a suffering Savior. We need a Savior who has tasted the cup of horror we are being forced to drink, and that is how he came. He knew that what this world needed, not condemnation, or not a comedian, not a sports hero, not a movie star, not a political genius, not a doctor, not even a pastor. The world needed what no mere man could be. The world needed a sovereign, a suffering sovereign. Mere suffering would not do. Mere sovereignty would not do. The one is not strong enough to save. The other is not weak enough to sympathize. So he came as who he was, the compassionate king, the crushed conqueror, the lamb-like lion, the suffering sovereign. Now he comes to Newton, Connecticut, and John Piper gives us a few verses to look at. Hebrews 2:10 talks about Jesus was perfected through suffering, or it talks about perfected through suffering. John 7:7 talks about being hated by the proud. Matthew 9:34 talks about being demonized by the strong. 2 Corinthians 8:9 talks about being willingly poor. Isaiah 53 goes on and on and on about how this man will deal with sorrow and grief, and he will be crushed, and he will be despised, and he will be rejected, and he will be wounded, and his submissive will be like a lamb led to the slaughter. He will endure anguish, and he will pour out in death, but he will rise, Romans 14, to help. And so, to this man who struggles with asking the question, why did this happen? And how dare you, Jesus? And you don't have any clue what these kids and these families are suffering through. It's not true. Jesus completely understands because he suffered himself. The God who draws near to Newton is the suffering, sympathetic God-man, Jesus Christ. No one else can feel what he has felt. No one else can love like he can love. No one else can heal like he can heal. No one else can save like he can save. When shots rang out on Friday at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut, Don Hochsprung, the 47-year-old principal ran from a room where she was meeting with a parent and other staff members to stop a madman. And she was killed while she was doing that. These are portraits of selflessness and love and true love. Victoria Soto, 27, first grade teacher, in room 10, the classroom next to where the shooting began, the source said, She hid her students, 15 or 16 of them, some possibly in a bathroom or a closet, before the gunmen entered the room, telling them they were safe. After the gunmen shot her, some of the children ran past the shooter to safety. 10 of the 15 lived. That is how she was found. She was huddled with her children. The family of the 6-year-old Dylan Hockley, one of the 20 children killed in the shootings last Friday, revealed in a statement Monday that their child's favorite teacher cradled him as they both died in the hail of bullets. "We take great comfort," the family says, "knowing that Dylan was not alone when he died, but was wrapped in the arms of his amazing aide, Anne Marie Murphy." Dylan's family said in a statement, "Dylan's love loved Miss Murphy so much and pointed at her picture on our refrigerator every single day." So what is love? First John 3:16. "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." The thing is, we can choose two things. We can choose to see all the horror in the world and question God's love. Or we can choose to see amongst the horror of the world to see God's love. Because His love is in the midst of the horror. God's love surpasses all that humans could conjure up. In fact, if we put everybody together that has ever lived from the beginning of time to the end of time, which was what? Yes, Friday, right? Right? No, to the end of time, if we said every single person, all that loved, all that they could love, and we compared it to God's love, it would be nothing compared to how much He loves. Right? It'd be a drop in the bucket. I think what we need to remember is that God is love. We could not love unless God was love. We couldn't. There is no love without God. He invented it. And so, Matt, you say God loves us. Wow, that's great. I hear that all the time. But really, does it really sink into your soul? God loves you. We sing it with our kids. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But He really does love you. He really does love the people in Connecticut. He really does love the people overseas who have gone through tremendous turmoil. I mean, you can go on and on. God loves because He already sent His Son to die for us. That was proof right there, was it not? And so John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." If God was not here, if He was not there in Connecticut, our world would be really, really bad. It would be tremendously worse off than it is today. And I don't doubt that Jesus was in the midst of those classrooms, in the midst of those families, and He was showing His love. More evil things would be happening every day, every moment, every second. Our evil hearts would probably continue to win out without God's love. John Mark McMillan wrote a song in 2005, and it's called How He Loves. And the song was successful despite the album's independent release. And you may not know who John Mark is, but you may know who David Crowder Band is, or I don't know if you know Kim Walker or Jared Anderson or Todd Agnew or Hillsong, or all these people have played this song that he's written. And the song has sentimental meaning for McMillan, who wrote it, John Mark McMillan. He wrote it following the death of a dear friend, who during a church staff meeting prayed out loud. He prayed this prayer. He said, "If it would shake the youth of a nation, I will give my life today." McMillan was awakened in the middle of the same night by a phone call. The friend had been killed in a car wreck. McMillan wrote, How He Loves, this song, the next morning. It was a celebration of a God who would want to hang with us. Despite who we are, the song took more than a year to surface in the Christian mainstream, but has gone to become a commonly played worship song, Christian radio, and throughout church organizations. And I want to give you the words, but I want you to hear the song after that. He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, I realize how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. Oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us so. How He loves us so. Yeah, He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. We are His portion, and He is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If grace is an ocean, we are all sinking. And my heart burns violently inside my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that He loves us. And then, of course, oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. And I know that in the midst of heaviness, it's hard to see. And it's very easy to go down the road of asking the question, why do these things happen? Because He loves us. I don't know. Maybe He loves us so much that He wants us to come to Him. And so we suffer and we seek Him. So let's listen to this song. I want you to know that He does love us. He does love you. Let's watch.
And you won't. And I got saved and kept on doing. So then where am I supposed to go? Because apparently Jesus doesn't work for me. He goes, oh, no. We'll work through this. But I'm not letting you go in the meantime. Oh, we'll get there. I'll finish it. I started it. I'll be faithful to finish. Don't give up. Keep walking. Keep pressing in. Keep confessing. But don't give up. I'll heal you. I won't let you go. There is no one who can condemn you. I don't. And if I don't, no one can. Who will even bring a charge against you? You're mine. What court could they possibly charge you in? Everything's mine.
And He is jealous for me, Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending the knee. The weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
That God in eternity looked upon me, foreseeing my fallenness, my pride, my sin, and said, I want that man in my family. I'll do anything to get him in my family. I will pay for him to be in my family with my son's life. That's love, folks. That is mega, off the charts love.
He's jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending the wind. The weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm on the way, these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are. Us. Oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us. Oh.
Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. That's why. We've got this weird compartmentalization thing that happens where you don't think that God sees all that you are, or that if he could have somehow knew who you were going to be, you wouldn't have gone to the cross. Listen, God knew you were going to be messy. Christ knew that you were going to be messy. God knows that you're going to screw up often. He knows that you're going to be drawn to things that are wicked. He knows that's what the cross is all about. The whole point of the cross is that you're going to fail and you're going to stumble and you're going to feel dirty and you're going to feel awkward. And the whole point of the cross of Christ is there be this mighty picture of his love and pursuit of you despite you. So the cross is necessary because of you, but it's also the picture we have of just how far God is willing to go because he loves you. Bitter against the church. I just think somehow we've got off, and there's all this talk about morality and people are conforming themselves to these moral codes, but they don't know Jesus. Who cares? It's the resurrection of Christ that justifies. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so big. It proves that all the wrath of God was poured out. It's gone. For the elect, it's gone. There is no more wrath. There's none. So Jesus sees you and he's like, my son, my daughter, perfect, spotless, blameless.
demonstrates his own love for us. He died for us. There it is. There's his love. Right there. He died for us. He became a human being. The God of the universe became a human being like us. And went through pain and suffering. Came into our messy world. Really messy world. Dark, dark world. And he shines. He glorifies his name. And he saves humanity. And he loves every single one of us. Deeply, deeply loves us. And my hope this morning is that you get a little bit of more glimpse of how much God is in love with you. He loves every single one of you. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your word. And over again, it says, this is what love is. Someone who gives their life. And that's what you've done. And so we are grateful. We are speechless. Lord, help us to know your love. Help us to experience your love. Help us to see your love in the midst of a dark and painful world. Help us to see you, your impact and what you're doing in amongst all the turmoil and the pain. And we thank you for that, for coming and saving us. And one day it will be annihilated. All the pain and the suffering and the turmoil will be no longer. And there will be peace, and there will be joy, and there will be love and true love, and it will be overwhelming. And we look forward to that day. So, Lord, this morning I pray that as we go and we celebrate, as we spend time with our families, I pray, Lord, that you would deepen our faith, you would deepen our love for you, that you would deepen our love for one another, because God is love and we need you in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.